We're officially in the offseason, and the Braves have already gotten it started. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Friday, November 1st, your source of news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. Follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball, flanked by the two guys here, Christian Raw, R-A-U-H, on the tweet box, and Troy Brock, Troy B Baseball, a little easier to spell than Christian Raw. And it's a three-person show today because we are in the offseason. Free agency, guys are officially free agents. Everybody became free agents as of the end of the World Series, and the transactions have already started. We see a deal. Trades were officially legal on Thursday. The Atlanta Braves got started rather early, sending DH and outfielder Jorge Soler to the Los Angeles Angels for right-hand pitcher Griffin Caning. A one-for-one trade, which it feels like you don't see a ton. Christian, is trading away Jorge Soler, we kind of expected something like that to happen because Atlanta had too many DH guys. Is this the power source that the Angels need to finally put a winning record up?
Well, I mean, they had Shohei Ohtani and they couldn't get a winning record. So I don't know if we can for sure say that Soler is going to be the answer. It's a confusing trade for me for the Angels. You're going ahead and you're picking up a salary that, you know, quite frankly, $16 million, I think you could use better elsewhere.
They recalculated it when you get traded. He's only going to be actually get paid $13 million by the Angels. His okay. Cap hit was $16 million for Atlanta. It's $13 million salary for the Angels.
Well, that's a little better. But, yeah. I mean, you know, it's still a little head-scratching for me just because of what happened in, you know, the past off seasons of not being able to get Ohtani, not bringing in players to, you know, to work around Mike Trout. He's coming back from an injury. There's obviously still talks that we might see Mike Trout be moved. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but those until it doesn't happen, I think we're always going to speculate about it. However, with the fact of, you know, bringing a guy like Soler over, it can't hurt. You know, there's been so many times we continue to talk about this Angel squad and how they've just mismanaged, you know, arguably one of the greatest players in baseball's history in his entire career. I would love to see the Angels find a way to make the postseason for Mike Trout. That's it. I don't care about anything else about seeing other than seeing Mike Trout in the playoffs. We got Shohei Ohtani in the World Series. Now we need to get Mike Trout one, whether that's with the Angels or with somebody else. But if adding a guy like Soler, which, you know, hey, he gets on base. And why is that a good thing, Troy? Because he gets on base. You know, I know you're a big Moneyball fan. So, and that could be absolutely huge. Having a guy like Soler in front of Mike Trout as a leadoff guy that, you know, as you know, Soler one, Trout two, that's not a bad little starting lineup, but I can't say that he's the answer because it didn't work with Ohtani.
It doesn't work with Ohtani. It feels like it won't work with anybody else. Troy, is with you when you have Mike Trout coming off of two knee injuries last year, he retore that meniscus, barely played last year. And you sign a guy to be your full-time DH because the indications are that they think he can play the outfield, but he's probably your full-time DH. Is this the wrong way to approach Mike Trout in his new season? Like, is this something where you needed to leave that DH spot open? Or is the fact that their DHs were some of the worst in baseball last year, who hit 223 with 12 homers as a group, did that mean you can find other ways to give Trout some rest other than DH because you had to get the offense?
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag of what they're going to get. I think they should have left it open for Mike Trout and let Mike Trout DH to rest those knees where he just tore his meniscus. And he's been dealing with knee injuries and other injuries for quite some time now. And being a full-time DH would probably be the best course of action for Mike Trout to keep him on the field more often because he's more, while he is a good defender, he is much more productive at the plate than he is in the field. Mm-hmm. And at now with Soler going to be the full-time DH, they still have options they can do. They can still put Trout in a corner outfield spot, but there's still risk of injury with him being out there in an outfield spot more so than if he was the full-time DH.
Yeah, I kind of agree that, like, you can move him to a corner outfield spot. I don't think you have to play him at DH. This is something, to me, this feels like maybe a little bit of an overcorrection to the struggles of the DH last year. They played 21 different players at designated hitter, and only four guys spent more than 10 games there. You know, Willie Calhoun, 61 games, batted 242, but like Nico Cavadas had 23 games. He batted 184. I do think you have the ability to put Trout in a corner, and it minimizes the impact on his legs. I remember there was a story about the Mets about moving somebody from center field to left field. And in the story, they cited motion tracking technology that said that when he played center versus left, I can't think of who this was. When he played center versus left, he ran 60% farther playing center than he did playing left or right in this case. So I think that you can move Trout to a corner, give him occasional days off of his feet and let him DH, and put Soler out there once a week or something like that. I do think, though, with Taylor Ward and Mike Trout both still on the roster, assuming Ward's not traded, it kind of reinforces the whole you got to find a center fielder thing. You have to find somebody who you're comfortable playing every day in center field. Mickey Moniak batted 219 in 124 games, playing a lot of center. He played all three, but he played a lot of center. It just kind of feels to me like you've got a lot of pieces here. Ward, Moniak, Joe Adell, a lot of guys. Who's going to step up and take center field is the big thing. And then for the Braves, Griffin Caning, they'll probably find a way to fix him. That's kind of the Atlanta Braves thing. Christian, is this something like he's potentially owed $5 million in arbitration? That's the projection. Do you think that the Braves keep him and fix him, or do you think he's just a non-tender candidate in a couple weeks?
Yeah, they just have a couple weeks to make that decision. But, you know, when you look at the Braves rotation and all the injuries they had over the past season, Spencer Strider, just to name, you know, the spotlight guy, you know, getting to, you know, 162 games is a long season. And I think we've noticed that with a lot of players. I mean, look at the World Series champions, the Dodgers, what they had to go through with their pitching rotation all the way until the final end. We saw a bullpen game in the World Series from the Los Angeles Dodgers, a team that had 11, 12 starting pitchers at the beginning of the season to prepare. So I think having just, you know, starting pitching depth is really big. For $5 million, that's not a bad deal. What's he, 28 years old? He's not a bad
former second round candidate. Hit.
Yeah, we've seen flashes in the pan from him in the past. I think he's a good, if you think you can figure out, you know, pump up his breaking pitches a little bit, and you think you can figure him out, he's a great back of the rotation guy, good depth. And if you look at what Atlanta has, you know, you wonder when you're going to get Strider back. You're probably not going to have him back right for opening day. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of youth on your roster that you still have a couple question marks about that weren't absolutely successful on their call-ups last season. So I think it's a good idea to keep them, at least for now. You know, if it's only a one-year, $5 million contract, there's not a one-year deal that I don't like, period. And you're going to hear me say that. I was probably going to wind up putting on a T-shirt at one point with all the conversations we put on during free agency. There is not a one-year deal I do not like. So when we have this conversation, I do think that Canning should stay with the Braves, give him a shot. And if you don't like it, once you get to June, July, whatever, easy DFA candidate.
Or, I mean, if nothing else, throw him in the bullpen. He does have some experience in the bullpen. He did a little bit for LA as well. And then kind of talking about some of these things, we've started to see some of the option decisions be made. A reminder is you have until 5 days after the World Series to make your option decisions. Club options, player options, mutual options. We've seen a couple of these already decided here. I'm trying to think about going off of, if you go by dollar amount, the biggest one that's decided is Yoan Moncada for the Chicago White Sox. They have turned down their club option for $25 million. They are paying him $5 million as a buyout to go away. Flip side, Jordan Montgomery, who was slammed by the owner as being the worst decision of their offseason, has decided in honor of how much you don't like it, I'm going to go ahead and pick up my $22.5 million player option. Troy, do you see Arizona attempting to cut ties with Jordan Montgomery somehow? Do they chip in some salary to move him to another team? Or do you think they give him one more shot and hope he can reestablish some value in that final season?
They probably should give him one more shot. He has shown in the past that he can he can definitely be a valuable piece to an organization. And I don't know what the deal was with his performance this past season. You really can't blame it on the late start, because as we've seen with Blake Snell, you know, it affected him for a few starts, but then once he got going, he was one of, if not the best pitcher in baseball over the last month or two of the season.
I do think that part of that too was Snell went down to the minors briefly. Like he was taken out of the major league rotation and had a chance to go figure it out. I don't think Montgomery was ever given the option to leave the major league roster and go figure it out. They just kind of had him trying to do it in season, which feels like it's incredibly tough. Christian, is it weird to think that like he could easily have a rebound with a normal offseason?
It's not weird at all, because we've seen it in the past that he's been able to do it. Now, obviously, age just becomes a factor. So, no, it's not sad or not surprising, I should say, one way at all. But I will say this. I am so glad that he accepted his player option, because what the comments were happening just a few weeks ago about Jordan Montgomery, when the whole Diamondbacks thing happened with the owner talking about how they don't want him back. I love that he signed that player option. That shows that he probably wasn't going to get anything close to that in free agency. Go get your money, man. Go do it. And don't care what that owner said in the future, because you're probably screwing him over for some kind of free agency thing. So I love that. I love that for Jordan Montgomery.
It would not surprise me one bit if he was sitting there, like just staring at the clock, waiting on it to strike midnight. And as soon as it struck midnight, 1 second, accept.
Not give him a chance to breathe.
It's like, you don't want me here? I'm going to accept even harder. talking about teams that declined options, though, the St. Louis Cardinals moving on from a trio of guys, right-hand pitcher Kyle Gibson, right-hand pitcher Lance Lynn, and reliever Keenan Middleton. This is something Gibson was owed $12 million. Lynn was owed $11 million. Middleton was owned $6 million. They're each owed $1 million in buyout, I believe. So it saves like $26 million. Is this the first of, like, I guess for Troy here, is this the first of many payroll saving moves we expect the Cardinals to make this offseason?
Yeah, and it's I've also seen some rumors of Nolan Arenado being a potential trade candidate. So it's definitely something that they're working towards, is saving some more payroll, and whether that is to go and spend on a different guy, a younger guy in free agency, or maybe it's just they're actually going to start kicking off their rebuild in a bigger way. We're yet to see how it's going to turn out. But yeah, it seems like that's the route that they're taking right now, is saving some money on payroll.
And Christian, of the four big veterans who have a lot of money owed and full no trade clauses, Arenado, Wilson Contreras, the catcher, Sonny Gray, and Miles Mikolas, the pitchers, who do you feel like of those four is most likely to get moved this offseason, and with the money owed, do any of them bring back a significant return?
I can see Sonny Gray bringing back a return, because, you know, just 2 years ago, he was runner up for the AL Cy Young winner, and he didn't have the best season last year, but it was still pretty high quality for his age. He still has ace potential. He doesn't have to be an ace, especially if he gets traded on, which will be really big. So I think he's probably the one that will get the most return. Mikolas, mm-hmm. You're lucky to even get anything if you get from him after what he had from last season. And then right. When you look at Nolan Arenado, I think that, you could probably get something decent, but you have an aging superstar on your hands. That's always a tough one. Contreras would be interesting as well, because catcher is always a premium position. He's a really good power bat, and he has proven to be, a great asset to the team. A team like the Cubs that lost Contreras a couple of years ago to free agency have been struggling to find a catcher, ever since Contreras left. So I would not be surprised to see either it be Gray or Contreras, but I will say this about the Cardinals. I do think that this is a little bit first step of them going into a rebuild. And that'll probably be the only time I say Cardinals with a rebuild, because there's no way that they will ever go into a full, like, down to the nuts and bolts. That's just not their franchise way. It's not the Cardinals way, if you will. But that transition from John Mozeliak, the chain bloom that's about to happen in this lame duck year of 2025 coming up, we're going to see a different style of a franchise, something you're not used to moving forward. So I do think that we're going to see some big pay cuts, and we're going to see a lot of the minor league talent that Cardinals fans might have been itching to see in 2024. We're going to see it next season, because they're going to have no choice.
Troy, how bad does it look for the Cardinals to sign Sonny Gray to a 3-year deal with the option, with the club option for a fourth, give up a draft pick to do it because he had a qualifying offer, and then turn around to trade him after one season when they probably have to chip in more money? Because of that $75 million that he signed for, $65 is still owed between the final two seasons and the $5 million buyout of the club option. How, in retrospect, how bad does that deal look if they give up a draft pick and only have him for a year?
It's definitely not great. I think that they expected to be a lot more competitive this season than they were. And a lot of that comes down to just guys not performing as they expected them to. And, mm-hmm. and Sonny Gray was should have been a guy that helped put them over the top in contention and helped them better to win the National League Central. And now it's just another contract that, like you said, they lost a draft pick and they're going to probably have to add some money to get him off the roster to move forward.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's a really rough look there. And I kind of see, okay, these are decisions you're having. This is why John Mozeliak is on his way out. Some other mutual options that were declined. And this is always really interesting to me. The concept of a mutual option to me is always really dumb, right? Because either you feel like you can make more on the open market, so you decline the option as in the player, or you feel like you underperformed and there's no better deal for you out there, so you want to pick it up, but the team now feels like you're overpaid, so they decline it. I can't think of the last time I saw a mutual option get picked up, but we saw a couple get declined. Wade Miley, his mutual option for 2025 was declined by the Brewers. Manny Margot, his was declined by the Twins. Adam Frazier by the Royals. A lot of the big decisions to still go, though, we don't have option decisions yet on Blake Snell, Gerrit Cole, Cody Bellinger. Does anybody really think that the Yankees are going to try to get out from under the Gerrit Cole decision? Because the reminder of how his works, he can opt out of the deal. The Yankees can then turn around and exercise a club option for 2029, would be the 10th year of the deal, his age 38 season, at $36 million. So if Gerrit Cole opts out now, he gives up 4 years and $144 million, but they could add another 36 in a year to keep him. Christian, do we think Gerrit Cole may actually opt out of his Yankees deal? Could he get more than 4 for $144 on the open market right now?
Well, I wonder how bad people are talking about that top of the fifth inning of game five of the World Series, right? And if that's the case, he might, you know, he might move on. No, I don't think he's going to do so. I think he's going to stick around, be a Yankee. But it would be interesting to see if he did, because of the, you know, it would change the pitching market for sure. It would definitely, you know, change the entire landscape of what we're looking at with the pitching market. If the Yankees wanted to get a little younger at their ace and go after a different guy like a Max Fried or a Corbin Burns or something like that instead of Gerrit Cole, I mean, that would be quite interesting. But in hindsight, I don't think we're going to see Gerrit Cole move on. I think we're going to see him finish his career as a Yankee, but it's certainly fun to talk about.
Yeah. I think the other big pitcher that we're waiting to see is Blake Snell, right? We mentioned him. We talked about Jordan Montgomery. Troy, if you're Blake Snell, is the way that you ended the season enough for you to think you can opt out and finally get that long-term deal you've been trying to get? Or is he just served to, hey, take the $38.5 million this year, have a full good season, and then reenter the market in for 2026, where I don't think there's as many premier pitching options who should be out there?
Yeah, especially if Gerrit Cole opts out, then that might be what Blake Snell's decision is banking on, is waiting to see what Gerrit Cole does. Because if Gerrit Cole becomes a free agent, then you have the top of the free agent pitching market is Corbin Burns and Gerrit Cole, and then it would be Blake Snell. So I feel like his decision is going to bank on what Gerrit Cole decides to do. But like you said, if it were me, either way, I would probably pitch another full season under the $38.5 million and try and replicate what I did down the stretch last year, and then go after the long-term contract, because you might can win another $50 million or so on top of that contract. And he's shown that he can do it consistently. He has started to be consistent, and he's won multiple Cy Youngs already. And he has also shown that he can pitch in the ninth inning. So it's not something the Tampa Bay Rays were very happy about, but it is something that he can do.
Yeah, and part of me wonders if the Juan Soto free agency is going to impact what the Yankees want to do with Cole. If they feel like they legitimately have a chance to bring Juan Soto back, do they look to save the money from Cole and think, hey, we've got plenty of pitching options between the rest of the rotation and the prospects where we can afford to let Cole walk and take that money and refocus it on Juan Soto? And let's kind of leave Juan Soto, because he said something after the World Series, almost immediately after, where the quote here is, I feel like every team has the same opportunities when I go into free agency. I don't want to say anyone has an advantage, because at the end of the day, we're going to look at what they have and how much they want me. It sounds like that is a money talks in this situation kind of quote there. According to the New York Post, 8 teams had checked in with Soto's representatives within 2 hours of the World Series being over. And that number had reached 11 teams by Thursday morning. Christian, who's the most surprising team out of that 11, you think? The Marlins?
Chicago White Sox are probably on that list, right? So probably them? No. When you look at the teams that are on that list, it's tough to say who's the most surprising, because most of them are pretty, you know, pretty... I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I feel like it's still going to be down, no matter how many teams check in. I feel like it's still going to be just like a 4 or 5 team race with the teams that we've talked about all offseason. I think it's going to be one of the 2 New York teams. I think LA will try to find a way to get into the mix. Philly will try to get away in the mix. And then we'll probably see the San Francisco Giants try and go ahead and get John Soto. So.
shout out to Bob Nightingale there. And I think, Troy, I want to talk a little bit more about Juan Soto, because that's the big question. Is we heard the report the Dodgers were interested, and I'm sure that some of that was Boris understands the more teams in this, the bigger. I do think we have a really interesting financial perspective here of the Dodgers, where so much of their money is deferred. Their payroll's not exactly as wild as we think it is. I want to say their commitments right now for 2025 are $214 million, which is still pretty high, but it's not in any way prohibitive to adding somebody like a Juan Soto, or adding somebody like, if they want to go, it feels like any one free agent that they want to sign, they have the money to do, because so much of this money is deferred. And can they afford to stand pat on the rotation with so many guys expected to be out next year? Gavin Stone, shoulder surgery, River Ryan, Kyle Hurt, Emmett Sheehan, all had Tommy John. Dusty may not be tendered because he had flexor surgery and then a torn esophagus. Tommy Gonsolin, Walker Buehler's a free agent, Jack Flaherty's a free agent. Like, right now, you have Yamamoto, Glasnow, Ohtani, and Kershaw in your rotation next year. Can they afford to spend the money on a guy like Juan Soto, or do they have to go out and find more starting pitching?
If they do go out and find more starting pitching, it'll probably be somebody for the back end of the rotation. As we've seen with them, they are much more likely to spend heavily on offensive production than pitching production, as we've seen with bringing in Freddie Freeman and paying Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani, even though he is technically making $2 million a year. But really, I did the math here with the it's essentially Juan Soto is projected to get about $45 million over 15 years. And with their $214 on the books next year, $45 million added to that is $259 million. That's under $260. I mean, they'd be over the luxury tax, but
yeah,
it's the Dodgers. They don't care about that. They care about winning championships. And
with the deferrals, the actual cash is only like $160 or $165 million, which is a little frustrating to think about. Just how aggressive they've been at deferrals versus everybody else. But it's like, it feels like they could add Juan Soto. I just don't know if they can afford to bypass the starting rotation. I feel like they need to add more starting pitching options because like we talked about earlier in this show, like they did a bullpen game in the World Series. They just didn't have enough starters available. Christian, like, should we be seriously worried about the Dodgers, or is this just a negotiating tactic to drive the price up?
I'm going to lean more towards the negotiating process because I think we're not going to see too much of deferrals for Juan Soto. I think Shohei Ohtani was a little bit of a different situation. I think he wanted to stay on the West Coast. I think we kind of already knew that, you know, moving in, regardless of the fake tweets of him flying to Toronto and being on that plane. He was never on that plane, guys. He was never there. So he was going to stay. I think he was going to stay in LA regardless, personally. When it comes to Juan Soto, it sounds like he's going to chase the biggest bag, period. I don't think it matters if he plays for the Savannah Bananas or he plays for the Miami Marlins. I don't think it matters where he goes to play. He wants to chase the biggest bag, and I can't blame him. He's the best hitter in baseball right now. Why not go ahead and chase and get the money that you deserve? So I don't think it's going to matter what team offers the best money. When it comes to deferrals and portions like that, it benefits him not to get the deferrals. You know, time value of money obviously works in his favor. So I think we're not going to see that. So in that case, I think the Dodgers are going to be, in my best Shark Tank impression, they're going to be out.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of who is out here, let's go ahead. We're going to take the top 10 free agents, and I just want kind of rapid fire. We're going to all pick where we think they go. So I'll say a name. We'll start with Christian. Christian, me, Troy. We'll say where we think they're going to go. We'll compile all of this later, and we'll track this through the offseason. Juan Soto, where does he sign, Christian?
Mets.
I've got Juan Soto going back to the Yankees.
Not biased at all. I've got him going to the Phillies. Legitimately.
Okay. All right. If the Phillies get Juan Soto, I've got some...
I know it was way before this podcast, but I called the Bryce Harper signing and Trey Turner way before those happened. So
there you go. All right, Christian, Corbin Burns, top righty on the market as of now. Where does he go?
I think we're going to see him. Oh, man. Dodgers. That's me, Dodgers.
I also have Corbin Burns to the Dodgers. I think they'll miss out on Juan Soto and they'll spread that money around three or four different guys. So I got Juan Soto, Corbin Burns to the Dodgers.
Mets.
Okay. Alex Bregman, third baseman, Alex Bregman. Who signs him, Christian?
The Phillies. I think the Phillies are going to go after Alex Bregman.
I've got the Yankees. I think the Yankees need to figure out the infield. They want a third baseman. They'll either trade for Arenado or they'll sign Bregman because they're, so there you go.
Yeah. I'm with Lindsay. I've got the Yankees. Jazz Chisholm's not going to play third for them moving forward.
All right. Max Fried, the top lefty, if Blake Snell doesn't opt out. Who signs Max Fried, Christian?
He's going to stay with the Atlanta Braves.
If only that were true. I've got Max Fried going to the Padres.
I'm with Christian. I'm Fried with the Braves.
That would be nice. Blake Snell, if he does opt out, where does he go, Christian?
I got him going back to the Padres. Reunion tour.
There you go. I think I've got Blake Snell going back to the Giants. I think he opts out and they give him a longer term deal at a similar but lower AAV.
I've got him going to the Yankees.
God, just another big money free agent pitcher. Yeah. All right. Pete Alonso. Who signs first baseman Pete Alonso, Christian?
The San Francisco Giants.
Giants wanting some power at first base and wanting another starter to go with.
They need a home run guy.
That'll give them two power guys in their corner infield. I've got Alonso going back to the Mets. I think that, especially if they don't get Soto, they're going to have to be aggressive and they're going to have to bring him back.
Yeah, I've got Alonso going to the Mets because I don't have Soto going to the Mets.
There you go. All right, shortstop Willie Adames, the only real game-changing shortstop available at the this year because Ha-Seong Kim is, a good defender but going to have shoulder surgery and should be out for a little while next season. Who signs Willie Adames, Christian?
I think the first trade that we already saw this season is a big impact of Willie Adames. He's going to be an Atlanta Brave.
See, I just don't see the Braves spending that much money. I've got Willie Adames going, believe it or not, to the Dodgers. I feel like they want to be able to put Edmund in center field. Finally, they've tried to trade for him multiple times. I think this is the time they finally get their man.
Yeah, if the Dodgers didn't want Willie Adames so bad, I'd have him going to the Braves, but Willie Adames is going to be a Dodger.
There we go. All right, Anthony Santander. I think this is one of the wild cards. He's a corner outfielder slash DH guy. Popped off for a bunch of homers this year. Christian, who signs Anthony Santander?
The Cincinnati Reds in that awesome Great American Small Park.
Ooh, that's almost as surprising as my answer. I've got him as the first big signing in the rebuild of the Washington Nationals. I can see him. He doesn't have to move very far to go play for Washington versus Baltimore. Gives them a power threat that they need. He'll probably end up DHing a lot when they get these other young outfielders up, but gives them a power threat for their outfield.
I like both of those answers, but he just screams San Francisco Giants to me.
We'll see if that happens. We would love that. First baseman Christian Walker, probably going to be the number one runner-up to Pete Alonso at first base. A lot of teams need first baseman. Who gets Christian Walker?
Houston Astros.
I've got the Astros feel likely to get a first baseman simply because of how much they've struggled. I think Christian Walker's a good fit on a couple-year deal with the Astros.
Yeah, sweep it. First one we've had all the same team. So Astros.
There we go. And finally, Teoscar Hernandez did great on a one-year deal with the Dodgers, won a World Series. Who signed Teoscar Hernandez in free agency?
Also the San Francisco Giants. I got Big Pete, the Polar Bear, and Teoscar Hernandez. I'm going with them. They're going for power this offseason. They're not going to be denied either, although they won't get Soto.
There you go. I've got Teoscar Hernandez going back to the Dodgers. I think they give him a multi-year deal. Probably not as high AAV as he got. It was a lot of deferrals in there, but I think they bring him back on a 2 or 3 year deal to get some stability in the outfield. And that way you have Edman, Betts, Hernandez with Andy Pages as your fourth is a pretty good outfield for the Dodgers.
I'm going to send this one to the Reds. They need to open up the purse strings a little bit on a superstar, and he'd be a good fit in Great American's ballpark.
There you go. That was our free agency prediction. Stay tuned, guys. We're not going to drop off during the offseason. We're going to be keep here every single day, breaking down what happens, breaking down the option decisions, the club options, the free agency calls, who signs who trades who to where. So if you're listening on audio, do us a favor, leave us a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell. Either way, tell your friends to go to firstpitchpodcast.com. And until next time, this has been First Pitch.